And would you turn with me in your Bibles to the passage that I read a little earlier in Psalm 34? And we're looking this morning at the first 10 verses. Psalm 34 and the first 10 verses. In the Black Pew Bible, you may find it helpful to have it open in front of you, because I'll be referring to these verses. It's on page 463. Psalm 34. You notice how the psalm begins. It begins with these verses: I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Now, as I said earlier, this psalm was written by a man called David. And David was a shepherd, and he became king in the nation of Israel in the Old Testament. And as I was saying earlier, David was a man who, like us, had many, many trials, many difficulties, many problems in his life. That is how life is, and that is how life is going to be on this earth. God made this world perfect. He made this world sinless. But sin has come into this world. And because sin has come into this world, sin has brought all manner of problems, illnesses and death and all kinds of anxieties and trials into our lives. All of us here this morning, we could all say, I have problems, I have difficulties in our lives. You'd be very strange if you didn't have problems. Sin has done this. It's not because you yourself have done something particularly wrong. This is what sin has done. So David was a man who had all these kinds of trials in his life. Before he became king, he had an enemy called Saul. And Saul wouldn't allow him to be king. And for many years, David was on the run. He was in the Judean wilderness. And Saul would run after him with his army. And David would have to take refuge in caves. And his life was in danger. He was a hair's breadth away from death at any time. Finally, after many years, he becomes king, and his problems don't end. He has enemies in the borders, and they attack, and there are wars. And then there is disquiet within his own house. His own son rebels against him. And there was a time when David had to leave Jerusalem and be on the run. This is the great King David. He has to leave his throne in Jerusalem, and he has to flee, because his own son has rebelled against him, and his son has pronounced himself king. And David returns after a while, and his son dies, but his problems don't end. There's another rebellion that takes place, and all kinds of issues in David's life. So David was a man like us, trials, problems, difficulties. And yet David writes these words, look at them, in verses 1 and 2. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes her boast in the Lord. Let the humble fear and be glad. I will bless the Lord at all times. And this morning I want to look at this and to encourage us. We are to bless the Lord at all times. If David could do it with all his problems, surely we can. Now, before I begin to actually look at the text, let me just say this, and I think this is hugely important, a hugely important lesson from David. The reason why we can rejoice in the Lord, the reason why we can praise the Lord at all times, the reason why David could do it, is because David looked beyond his worldly circumstances to the spiritual blessings that God had given him. If you're a Christian here this morning, there are two things that are true of you. You are here in this world with all the trials of the world. That's one thing that's true of you. But there's another thing that is true of you if you're a Christian here this morning. You have spiritual blessings. God has given you spiritual blessings. And the Bible constantly tells us that we as Christians, yes, we don't stop living in this world, and yes, the world with all its trials will have an impact upon us, but the Bible is constantly saying to us, we are to look beyond our circumstances here on earth, and we are to look at the spiritual blessings that God has given us. This is why David could rejoice in the Lord. This is why he could say, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. As you read this psalm, you see that he's talking about the blessings of God. He's saying to himself, and he's saying to those to whom he wrote this psalm, he's saying, yes, I have problems. Yes, I have difficulties. Yes, my son has rebelled against me, and I had to flee Jerusalem. And yes, Saul was chasing me through the wilderness of Judea, and I had to face Philistines, and so on. But God has blessed me. The blessings of God are upon me. And I'm not going to be filling my mind and my heart with my circumstances. I'm not going to be constantly looking at my circumstances, my illnesses and my family situations and my stresses. I'm not going to be looking at those things and only looking at them and fill my heart and mind with these things. I'm going to be thinking about the blessings that God has poured out upon me from heaven. That is what David is doing. He's looking at the blessings that God has poured out upon him. So, this morning, my theme is why we are to bless the Lord at all times. I'm going to be looking particularly at verses 4 to 10. You'll find it helpful to have those verses in front of you. Verses 4 to 10. There are three reasons. And the first is this. The reason why we are to bless the Lord at all times, He has saved us from our sin. He has saved us from our sin. Now, when you read an Old Testament passage like this, you have to remember that what's happening in the Old Testament in worldly terms happens to us spiritually. Let me explain that. The people of Israel were slaves in Egypt, and God delivered them out of slavery to the Egyptians. Now, the New Testament takes that, and the New Testament says, just as they were slaves to the Egyptians, we were slaves of sin. And just as God delivered them from slavery to the Egyptians, God has delivered us from slavery to sin. You see how the Bible is working. It says, you look at what happened to people, and you look at the blessings they received, and you say, we received the same blessings spiritually. Just as they were the blessings of God to them, they are the blessings to us, spiritually given. So David, you see in this psalm, speaks about deliverance. Look at what he says from verse 4. I sought the Lord, and He answered me, and delivered me from all my fears. Look at verse 6, this very famous verse. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. So you see, there was David as king, as shepherd, and he would have problems, he would have issues, and God came to his aid, and God saved him. There he was as a shepherd, and a lion would come to attack his sheep, and he fought off that lion, and a bear would come and attack the sheep, and he fought off that bear, he tells us this. And there was this Philistine, and he had to fight the Philistine army, and he had to fight with hardly any weaponry in his hands. And when he became king, there were all these issues. And so God delivers him, God saves him, God helps him. And we look at this and we say, what God has done for David, God has done for us in Christ at a far greater level. Because just as David was in trouble, so we were in trouble. David was in trouble with his enemies. We have the greatest enemy of all, Satan and sin. And David's troubles came from his enemies, and our troubles come from Satan and sin. Because we were born in sin. and we lived lives of sin, and we were bound for hell, which is where sinners go. And God had mercy upon us, and God sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus came into this world to save sinners. And Jesus died on the cross of Calvary to save sinners. When Jesus died on that cross, our sins were laid upon Him, and He paid the penalty for our sins. And when Jesus died upon that cross, He delivered us from slavery to sin. He cleansed us from the uncleanness of sin. And He brought us into God's kingdom and made us the children of God. The cross of Calvary, where Jesus died, that is where salvation, that is where blessing is found. God has blessed us in Christ. If you're a Christian here this morning, you have no sin. I'm not saying you never sin. We all still sin. What I'm saying is you have no record of sin before God. God is not dealing with you according to your sins. God isn't saying you did this wrong and this wrong and this wrong and therefore I will punish you. If you're a Christian here this morning, your sins have been forgiven, all cleansed, all removed. Your guilt is gone because Jesus Christ died for you on the cross of Calvary. God has saved you from your sins. Now you see, that's such a great blessing. We forget how wonderful these spiritual blessings are. Yes, we have problems here on earth. Yes, there are difficulties in life. Yes, there are difficulties of health. But these things are temporary. It's eternal things that matter. Life here on earth is only so many years. Yes, I know life is full of difficulties, but it is only so many years. And even in the midst of all those problems that we have, God blesses us. He comes to us by His Spirit. He showers His love upon us, and His love fills our hearts, and we know the joy of the Lord. So even in the midst of trials, you see, David doesn't say that one day in the future. He says, I bless the Lord now. It's in the present that he's talking about. So the first reason why we are to rejoice in our God is that He has saved us from our sin. Can I ask you this question this morning? Do you know the forgiveness of your sin? Have you been forgiven your sins through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you put your faith in Christ? Have you asked Christ to save you? Have you asked Him to remove your guilt? It's the only way your sins can be dealt with. You yourself cannot deal with your sins. If you think to yourself, if I live a good life, a moral life, I go to church, I'm a religious person, then God will see I'm good and I will earn my salvation. You won't. There is only one way our sins can be dealt with. It is Jesus Christ and His death. It is Jesus Christ and His blood. It's the only way sins can be forgiven. Have you found forgiveness for your sins in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ? Is Christ your Savior? Is He the one who has taken away your sins? If He has, your sins are gone. You're right with God. You're a child of God. You're headed for heaven. But if you don't have Christ as your Savior, you are still in your sin and you're headed for an eternity in hell. Is Christ your Savior? So the first reason why we rejoice in God, we are to bless the Lord. He has saved us from our sins. Meditate much on this, how you've been saved from your sin. But the second reason why we are to bless the Lord at all times is that He protects us from danger. Look at verse 7. It's a wonderful verse. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him and delivers them. Now, in the Old Testament, I don't want to go into all the details, the angel of the Lord refers to the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is speaking about the Lord Jesus Himself. And it says, the angel of the Lord encamps, surrounds those who fear Him and delivers them. This is David's experience. David, you see, knows the Lord. David was saved through faith. We know this from the Bible. The Bible tells us that David wasn't saved because of his own works or his own godliness or his religion. We know from the Bible David was saved because he put his faith in the Savior who was to come. And David, through his life, looks back and he says, I've known these experiences where I've been under great danger, where I've been under great problems, and my enemies are there. But, he says, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Do you know, my friends, we are totally ignorant of how much God does for us each day. We just simply do not know what God has saved us from. If you drove here this morning in your car, all manner of things could have happened to you in your car while you were driving here, and God delivered you from all those sort of things. All kinds of things could have happened, and yet God looks after his people. And if you're a believer this morning, you could be under all kinds of spiritual attack. We have the devil, and we have all the demons against us. But we have Christ, we have the Holy Spirit, we have God the Father, we have the angels who fight for us. And the angels of God will protect us. You must never fear Satan, you must never fear demons. You mustn't live a life, if you're a Christian here this morning, you mustn't live a life where you're obsessed with Satan and obsessed with demons and what demons can do and how demons can come in and how Satan can come in and so on. We mustn't get obsessed with these things. Don't let these things fill your hearts and minds and you always go on about Satan and demons, Satan and demons. You don't do that. What it says there in verse 7, it's a very easy verse. Why not memorize this verse? Why not pin it up on your wall somewhere? The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. You are under the protection of God. You're a child of God. God has held you in his hands. Christ has held you in his hands. You're under his protection. I'm not saying that sin will never come to you. We'll always be tempted by sin. I'm not saying we mustn't be careful of sin and the effects of sin. We must always be on our guard against sin. But we don't become obsessed with our enemies. We are to worship our God. Look at the Psalms that David wrote. Study these Psalms. Does David go on and on about his enemies? Does he go on and on about the Philistines and about those who rebel against him and about those who chase him in the wilderness? Does he go on and on about them? You know, he hardly ever mentions them. Occasionally there are Psalms when he speaks about his enemies, but they're rare. The Psalms of David are characterized by worship and adoration, the greatness of God, the majesty of God, the sovereignty of God, the magnificence of God. His mind and his heart is constantly focused upon God. He's looking at God. He's admiring God. He's discovering new things about God. He's worshiping God and he's not focused on his enemies. Don't constantly think about those things that are against us and the problems that we have and the attack that we might be under. Think of God and his goodness to you. The angel of the Lord encamps. I've been looking at that word this week as I've been studying this passage. And this word encamps. And it has this sense of permanence about it. You notice he doesn't say, well, the angel of the Lord sort of wanders around just keeping an eye on you. This word encamps has a sense of permanence. You are permanently protected by Christ. You are eternally protected by Christ. It is not a kind of occasional protection, but it is permanent. Why should we bless the Lord at all times? He has saved us from our sin through Christ. He protects us from danger. And then the third reason why we must always bless the Lord at all times. He provides for all our needs. Look at verses 8 to 10. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. For those who fear him have no lack. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. What a remarkable psalm this is. When my children were young, we taught them those 10 verses in a song. And if I could sing, I could sing those verses for you. And that's how we memorized this psalm. Because we saw it was so lovely. My wife used to love this psalm. We must teach our children this psalm. And it is in a song form. And we used to sing it to them. But look at these verses that are here. Even the lions suffer want and hunger. The lion is the king of the jungle, and the lion is the most powerful animal there, and the lion can get anything. But even the lions suffer want and hunger. The young lions, not the old ones that are now decrepit, but the young lions that are strong and energetic, even they suffer want and hunger. But those who seek the Lord lack no good thing, because God provides for all our needs. Do you know your greatest needs are your spiritual needs? The greatest need you have this morning is to be forgiven your sin, is to be right with God, is to be in fellowship with God, is to be a child of God. And God in Christ provides all your needs. He provides your forgiveness. He provides for you to become His son and His child. He provides for you to become a member of His kingdom. And He provides a place in heaven for you. And here while you're on earth, you have spiritual needs. And God provides those spiritual needs. And aren't we blessed as a nation that on top of all our spiritual needs, God has provided us with our material needs. We don't go without. Praise God for that. There are people in this world who go without. We don't go without because God provides for our needs. I've said this often from this pulpit, and I will say it again. To complain, to murmur, to grumble is a great sin. Look at what God has done for us. You're a Christian here this morning. Look at what God has done for you. He has sent His Son. His Son has died for you. He has forgiven you all your sins. He has brought you out of darkness into His marvelous light. He has brought you out of the kingdom of Satan into His own kingdom. He has made you His own beloved child. And He has poured blessings upon you. He has sent the Holy Spirit to live in you. And the Spirit of God is at work in you, transforming you into the image of Christ. He has a place in heaven guaranteed for you, and you will take up that place. You will not fail to take it up because Christ has guaranteed it, and Christ has ensured that you will be ready for it. All these blessings of God. And then in addition, all our material needs that have been provided with. Surely we can say with David, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Surely, with all those blessings, we can say that.